Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to have a witching hour. Yes, bewitching, I should say. Halloween is just around the corner, and we have a delightful guest with us today, Linda Wisdom. And she is the author of a number of books on witches. But this is fun stuff. This isn't serious Salem witch hunt stuff, although we'll get into that a little bit. But in all seriousness, this is fun material to read, and it is just perfectly appropriate for this time, actually any time, if you want to be entertained. These books by Linda are absolutely marvelous. Linda, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Donna.
It is a delight. I have to tell you, when I got the books from your publisher, when I got the note, I think you will enjoy these. I said, oh, they're just adorable covers. I just love the covers on these. Whoever put these covers on. I mean, these little witches are absolutely as sexy as anything can be.
Aren't they wonderful? They
are just absolutely adorable. And I thought, oh, well, those are cute. But you really have got a series here about some very special ladies and a couple of gents that have a way of getting involved. Now, today we've got so much on television. We've got the Ghostbusters people. We've got all kinds of programs like Charmed that's been on. Goodness, I don't even know how many years Charmed has been on. And that's about, you know, sisters having these magic powers and abilities. We've got the Ghost Whisperer. We've got Medium now. We've got all of these different things. I need to know what it was that pushed your buttons to decide to write about these characters. I mean, we're going to tell you some more about how, a little bit about these characters, but what was it that made you decide, since you majored in journalism when you were in school and you decided you were going to go into fashion merchandising? How did you get from that fashion merchandising to talking about witches? This is cool. I want to hear the story.
Well, there's been over 70 books in between. I've been published since 1979.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And, yes, I wrote for Harlequin and Silhouette. I wrote for Dell Candlelight Ecstasy, for Kensington Books, and also some love-swept romances. Those are when I did start getting interested in paranormal books. And then what happened with this series is I wanted to write a paranormal series, and the agent I had at the time kept saying, you need to write dark, edgy vampires. And I said, okay, dark, edgy vampires. And I said, no, sassy, snarky witches keep coming to mind.
I like
and
that, sassy, snarky.
That works. And that's exactly what they are. And
they
that, are. In fact, they were expelled from the Witches Academy.
Ah, and we've got to talk about that. So this is how you got started. You decided you were going to write about sassy, snarky witches.
Exactly.
Try to say that fast five times.
I don't think I could.
That'd be a bear, I'll tell you. But we're going to go back. Let's go into book number one, because you have four of this series. And from what I understand, you've got a couple more on the burner. But the first one was 50 Ways to Hex Your Lover. And the cover shows this adorable redhead. I shouldn't say redhead. It's an orange head. I mean, just perfect for this time of the year. It has a casket in her back seat, a black cat at her right shoulder. And it's just absolutely a wonderful cover. It really, really is just colorful and imaginative. But we're going back to 1313 in Alderley Edge, Cheshire, England.
Yes.
Why did you choose that space?
I actually did a lot of Googling because I was trying to find an old part of England, and I talked to some authors who lived in England. And I said, okay, this is what I need. Give me some suggestions of areas. And that's what they suggested. Because I needed something that would would have that very old feel to it, and I wanted to use a real area. Even though essentially the Witches Academy would exist on a separate plane, a magical plane, is what they would call it, where not everyone would necessarily see it.
Right. Well, it's sort of like Harry Potter.
Exactly.
I mean, you didn't have the train station. But this is interesting the way it starts out, because there are actually 13 young students.
Yes.
That are expelled. And the head of the school, her name is Eurydice. And she is really uptight with these kids because they have just really broken all the rules because they had cast a curse on a mortal.
One of them had done it, and no one would even snitch on who did it if they knew.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing, is no one owned up to it, and no one would say, oh, she did it, and which is why they were all expelled from the academy for 100 years.
A 100 years from school.
Only if they behaved.
Only if they behaved.
And that's why 700 years later, they're still out there in the world.
Sassy snorky, that's what you said.
Exactly.
Sassy snorky, so that's what we've got here. Mm-hmm. And these are really interesting characters. Now, I need to ask you, in the first book, I didn't see the names of all 13 listed. Are you incorporating them in at different times in different books? I know Jazz is the primary character, and you dedicated your first book to your dad, Robert Randall, because you wanted him to know, you just wanted to say, gee, thanks, Dad, I wish you had seen, because he had passed over.
Yeah.
Why is Jazz such a significant character, and why would Jazz have been someone that your dad would have liked knowing about?
Well, the funny thing, everybody who knows me says that they see me in Jazz and vice versa.
Ah.
And I just like to say that Jazz says a lot of things that it's probably I would like to say. She can get away with it better than I can.
Uh-huh.
And what I like to joke is we're both redheads, except she's tall and I'm short.
Uh-huh.
That type of thing. And he was always, my dad was always very supportive of my writing. And that's why I wanted to dedicate the first book to him.
So now with this first book, when you started off with this one, did you have any idea that you were going to end up having a whole series?
Yes, I did. I wanted to write a book for each witch. I'm introducing future witches into each book. I add one or two extra names is what I tried to do. Just to give the readers an idea that, yes, these are coming up, and it's nice if they're saying, oh, are we going to get so-and-so's story next? And give them a little bit of idea of what the witch looks like, what she is like in personality, and what her work is. And it also kind of keeps the series rolling, because most series is about one main character.
Right.
Whereby mine is a different character for each book.
Well, you weave some of the what I call the mainstream personalities in and out. But it is something that, for example, with Jazz, they're all extremely independent personalities.
Oh, yes.
But you've got Jazz, and then you've got Blair and Irma, and then you have Dweezil. Dweezil. Where did you ever come up with Dweezil? That's a made-up name.
Dweezil Zappa. And the funny thing is, sometimes I feel like my characters name themselves. It's really funny. And Dweezil just came across as a Dweezil.
Gotcha.
You've got to admit he is a totally twisted personality. He's not really a creature most people would want to know.
Well, tell us a little bit about Dweezil and how you managed to integrate him into the 50 Ways to Hex Your Lover.
Dweezil is Jazz's boss for her night job. During the day, she likes to call herself is a curse eliminator. At night, she is a driver for All Creatures car service. literally driving any type of creature around town, those who don't want to drive, including vampires, who just are not safe driving, is what likes to be said, even if she considers them incredibly cheap tippers. Dweezil is a character all his own. Jazz is convinced there are no others like him, and it's probably a good idea, because he has extra appendages. There's a hidden third arm somewhere, and there's supposedly a second appendage below the belt, which she would really care never to see. He's one of these people, you would probably call him high-strung. He does not watch his language. He has this temper, but I really think that his bark is definitely worse than his bite. He tends to give off this odd smell when he gets agitated, and the one thing he values is his vintage erotica collection of paintings and books and little articles around his office. That's his big thing. And he's just, to me, he was just a nice foil for Jazz, because he's something that she can go toe-to-toe with. He's not going to back down, she's not going to back down, and anything can happen between the two. And as I showed in the books, it really does. Anything does happen.
Right.
So he's just fun.
Then you've got Irma, who's another witch. Now, she's the clothes horse.
Well, Irma is the ghost that haunts Jazz's bar.
Oh, that's
bar.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But she
I pictured her as sort of like Betty White.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That is interesting. And then you have Nick.
Oh, yeah.
You have Nick. And Nick is a number as far as Jazz is concerned.
Oh, yeah.
And the book is filled with all kinds of good stuff. Now, again, right now, Linda has out 4 books. The second one that she came out with was Hex Appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And this really is fun reading. There's a lot of it. It's just really a lot of fun. And you have Jasmine Tremaine. And then you have a absolutely drop-dead gorgeous cop, as you call him,
mm-hmm.
Nikolai Gregorovich. I mean, whoa, what a name to give to a police officer. Okay, and it just absolutely, it just gets started, and it just keeps going and going and going, and it's like the Energizer Bunny. Oh, speaking of bunnies, in the first book, I've got to mention this. There are Fluff and Puff, and they're bunny slippers, but they're active bunny slippers? Is that what I want to say?
Yeah, they're active. They have fangs. They will eat anything. They've been accused of eating a lot of things. They're very, very mischievous. There's no reins on them. They've been fun because I do a lot of flash fiction with them on my blog. Because they are fun. Just little things that they can get into. In fact, last year I had them tattooed on my ankle.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And the tattoo is at my website, in fact.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there we'll find out what her blog is, too, in a bit. But you have this Hex Appeal. Now, where did you get Nikolai Gregorovich from?
Oh, Nick, I wanted her to have a vampire on-and-off lover.
Oh,
and it
okay.
seemed appropriate. And Nikolai Gregorovich came because I kind of wanted him to be a Cossack.
Uh-huh.
I was going way back in old Russia, and it seemed perfect in that he would later on Americanize his name. And I could see him just as a cop, as a protector. But at the time, but now in the present, what he's doing is he owns a building near the boardwalk in Santa Monica. And he's also trying to get back with Jazz in the beginning, which hasn't been easy, of course, because they're like, what would you say, you know, fire and water, whatever, that they kind of go back and forth to where they start getting into battles, and she's yelling she's going to stake him, and he's yelling he wants her on the other side of the world. But they really can't stay away from each other for too long. They're just meant to be.
So you've mixed the aspect of romance here, but you've got, with each one of the books, it's as if there's a romantic theme. There is also sassy, snorky witches, and
mm-hmm.
there's a different one with each book, but there's some of the characters like Jazz that are brought up more than once.
Right.
And then you also have the mystery, the problem solving, the interaction with Dweezil characters and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And each and every book actually stands on its own merit, which I think is very, very good. Very, very good. And
that's what I wanted to do, that somebody could read a book. They wouldn't have to start out with the first book. But then I would hope once they read one of the books, they would want to go back and read them all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're fun reading. They're really, it's really good entertainment. And then when, you know, we had some of our listeners that would say, gee, I've always wanted to write. I've always wanted to do fiction. But your characters, as you said, they sort of write themselves. What would you say to anyone who is listening today that maybe has concepts or ideas in their heads that they would like to be able to express in a book and maybe even have a series that they might want to put together? What would you tell them? How do you go about doing this? I mean, you've been writing since the 70s, and this is a way you make your income, but you've done a lot of different things. And this is a different genre than what you had originally started out with.
Yes, it is. This is my 30th year, and what I would suggest to anyone, if they want to do this, check into their local colleges or night schools for writing classes.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down and learn the basics of writing. Because some people, they think, oh, I can sit down and write a book. No problem. And it's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
It really is to make things flow. So that would be my first advice. Look into doing that. Take some writing courses. See if this is what you really, really want to do. Because sometimes it's easy to come up with the ideas and a lot harder to put them down on paper.
Yes, and I think when you're writing, I call it the zone that you
mm-hmm.
have to sort of go into. And you have to also not be judgmental about what you're writing. You just
right.
sort of have to let it flow. And like when you talked about Dweezil and getting that character together, and then you've got Fluff and Puff as characters that came together. And you've said what I've heard other authors say, that they take on a life of their own. And to be able to incorporate these different characters with that liveliness and personality and dealing with various aspects of staging and scenery and description that needs to go along with it, there's also that part where you want the imagination of the reader to be able to take over and fill in some blank spaces, too. It's really, it's a fascinating challenge. It really, really is.
Well, I think with when you're doing characters that would be considered not real, you want the unbelievable to be believable. And in order, I think, for an author to do that, they have to believe in them. I have bunny slippers, and I'm positive they're never where I've left them. I really do.
Okay, so
that's one of those things.
That's how Fluff and Puff started evolving. You said, I've got these slippers at home.
Uh-huh. And I always pictured Jazz wearing fangy bunny slippers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And I did not expect them to take, I did not realize they would take off the way they did.
Isn't it fun?
They get their own fan mail.
I beg your pardon?
They get their own fan mail.
They get their own fan mail.
They do.
Amazing. Who would have ever thought that Fluff and Puff,
mm-hmm.
Non-existent bunny slippers, would get fan mail? I mean, that is amazing.
It is. It's
well,
really
with
funny.
Now with this one, Wicked by Any Other Name, we're dealing
mm-hmm.
with a witch, Stacy, a Stacy. It's Stacy, correct?
Yes.
Or do you pronounce it Stacy?
It can go either way. Some have pronounced it one way or the other, so I take it
okay.
either way.
Okay, Stacy Stassi, however you want to pronounce
yeah.
it. Now, she has a lingerie shop, and she is into bringing a particular joy into people's lives if they so desire it, but sometimes it boomerangs on people when they ask for one thing and they get another result. And that's part of the charm in this book, is how she deals with people that are not particularly honest, and she fixes them. Have any of the programs by Charmed ever, when you see them, because I admire the people that put together those programs. I think it takes a lot of imagination to be able to create something that's fresh and different. and charm design, I know, has been on for a few years. But has any of that ever inspired you relative to a thought, a characterization, something that maybe you've seen on television?
Not really. I think, if anything, sometimes it might be the atmosphere. Such as, I love, from Charmed, I love the house mm-hmm. that the girls lived in. And I put jazz in a Victorian house
mm-hmm.
because I just think they're cool. I really do. And that type of thing. I tend to, a lot of times, look at what I call the atmosphere, the energy in a show. But that's it.
Now, you talk in The Wicked by Any Other Name, which is number 3, you talk about water witches, and you bring out all kinds of different things. Now, these witches, each and every one of them, have their own particular talents. How did you come up with this about the water witches?
Oh, the water sprites. That's what they are.
Okay.
They're water sprites, and water sprites are sort of like fairies, is what they are, and they live around water.
Mm-hmm.
But they also can create mischief, but they can only do it around water. And that's where they came from. Water sprites have been mentioned for years. And those I found in one of my reference books.
Now, I have to tell you, in Wicked by Any Other Name, there is a lake where some strange things are going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of stuff that's happening in here. So there's really some bewitching going on multiple levels there. Now, your latest publication that you've come out with is Hex in High Heels. Now we're talking about Blair Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
And a carpenter named Jake Harrison. And these are two really intense personalities. Now,
well,
what's Blair's specialty?
Blair's gift is revenge spells.
Ah.
Except she doesn't use them lightly. It's mainly for justice. I mean, she just won't do it because somebody comes in and says, I want a revenge spell.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have a good reason for it. And that's what I've shown in there when somebody does ask about a revenge spell and she tells them no.
Mm-hmm.
That type of thing. So that's her gift.
Now, I also have to tell you in this book, and you would never, ever expect this, it's mm-hmm. in the very back, it's Hetty's Marbled Orange Fudge. Now, you've got to tell me where you got this recipe.
I found it. I found that recipe years ago, and I love creamsicles anyway, but if you don't think about it, it's fudge. So I tried the recipe, and the whole family was hooked on it.
Amazing.
So I tend to make it every Christmas because it is a dangerous recipe. And my husband will take two big batches of this fudge to work, and it's gone in seconds.
Amazing.
The women every year are saying, your wife's going to make that orange vanilla fudge, isn't she?
Amazing.
So it's really good.
When I went through the book and I found this, I said, a fudge recipe in the back of Hex in High Heels? What is this stuff here? But it's also part of the story. So you
yeah.
managed to take this recipe, which is orange and, you know, and fudge colored, marbled, and it's just absolutely amazing. Do you mind if I share the recipe?
Oh, not at all.
All right. So here we've got a recipe, folks. This is 1.5 teaspoons plus 3/4 of a cup of butter, and you cut it up. And then you need 3 cups of sugar, 3/4 of a cup of whipping cream, 1 package of vanilla or white chips, 1 jar of marshmallow cream, 3 teaspoons of orange extract, and then you're going to need some orange food coloring. Now what you do, you take a 13-by-9-inch pan, and you grease it with 1.5 teaspoons of butter. The sugar, cream, and remaining butter you combine together. You cook and stir over low heat until the sugar is totally dissolved, stirring. Well, bring to a boil, cook and stir for 4 minutes, remove from heat, stir in the chips and marshmallow cream until it's smooth. Take out 1 cup, put it aside, add your orange extract and coloring to the remaining mixture. You stir it until blended, pour into the pan, drop reserved marshmallow mix by tablespoonfuls over the top, cut through the mixture with a knife to swirl, cover and refrigerate until set. No wonder you said this thing was deadly.
Mm-hmm.
You eat too much of this, you won't even be able to get out of the kitchen.
Oh, no. And it's fun because you can also try different flavors with it.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
Chocolate and mint, chocolate and coconut.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have got such a delightful series here. What are you up to next?
One of the two witches that are also mentioned in Hex and High Heels, Maggie and Thea, those are the next two books. And that's what I'm doing now. And Maggie's book, The Best Hex Ever. It shows Thea's book in the back, unfortunately, as a teaser, but instead it's going to be Maggie's book.
Uh-huh.
We made some changes, and that will be out next year.
That's going to be out next year. Now, what with this series, now you've got 13 witches, so obviously you could have 13 books here. Do you ever see them going back to school?
No. I don't think it could happen for them, no matter what. I really don't. Just because they've been in this world for so long, I think it would be very hard for them to.
Wow. Now, in one of your books, you went a little bit into the Salem witch trial.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's always going to be a conversation about the Salem witch trials, especially around Halloween.
Yes.
And that really was a tragic story in American history. But it wasn't just here. There were all kinds of things in European history.
And
in your research, you probably found an abundance of stuff on, you know, witches, people that were supposedly witches, and they were just scapegoats for what other people didn't understand. And it's, you know, it still continues to be that way, I think, in many different cultures. What has been the greatest gift that writing these stories has been given to you?
The chance to explore other time periods. I have, what's really kind of cool, I have had a lot of witches write me and tell me how much they enjoy the books.
Mm-hmm.
And how I have respected their craft in my writing. That says a lot.
Yes, it does.
And in fact, I couldn't believe it, where one woman told me she was teaching an online class of witchcraft for paranormal authors, and she says, I recommended your books to my class.
Wow.
And to me, I mean, that is high praise.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am respectful. I have friends who are witches, who are pagans, and if I'm stuck on something, then I call on them and say, okay, this is what I need to do. Any suggestions?
Mm-hmm.
Because we all know, as readers even, if you read something wrong, that sticks in your mind forever.
True.
And I do my best not to have anything wrong in my books. I mean, sometimes errors can slip through, but I do my absolute best to make sure everything is correct as possible. I visited Salem years ago, and it really stuck with me. And I always knew I would write a book that had a mention of Salem. And Stacy's book was perfect for that.
Mm-hmm.
With the paranoia, the whole thing, and the mentioning of Europe, and the fact that in Salem the witches were hanged and not, you know, burned at the stake and all of that going on. And
well,
that's what I wanted to show.
Well, I think that's very true. And again, I love Halloween. I think it's a marvelous holiday. It's a great time for people to use their imagination, to just have a lot of fun. Kids love it. And
mm-hmm.
It's been around for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So I don't think it's going to disappear, but I do think your Bewitched books are absolutely marvelous. And again, are four of them. If you are a person that loves series, this is going to end up being about 13 different witches who got into trouble in 1313 and are staying in trouble. They're not going to be allowed to go back to school, it looks like, ever. So it's 50 Ways to Hex Your Lover, Hex Appeal, Wicked by Any Other Name, and Hex in High Heels. What's your website, dear, so people can go, and how do they get to your blog?
www.lindawisdom.com. And if they look under Contact, my blog, the link for my blog is there.
Great. LindaWisdom.com. If you want to be entertained, would just really like to have some material that's a lot of fun to read, totally bewitching in its own right, go to lindawisdom.com, and you can also link into her blog and find out about those bunny slippers that get their own fan mail and they don't even exist. Okay, what can you say? That's just life. Linda, it's just been delightful. Thank you so much for being my guest today, and happy Halloween to you.
Well, happy Halloween, and thank you for having me.
It's been a joy. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. Don't go away. More good things to come. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna, and telephone lines are now open, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And if you're a first-time listener and you wonder what happens, well, when you call in, we can discuss whatever you like. But if you'd like for me to give you a reading, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. I also like to know where you're calling in from, and then after that, I will tell you what I perceive, and then you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you like. And remember, there's no such thing as a dumb question. So many times people try to get too intellectual, and I want to say, ask what's most important to you. So again, give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. Also, for those of you in the state of Washington, I'm going to be doing a special appearance at the Dickens Festival in downtown Tacoma. And I'll be there on November 21st from noon until 4 at King's Bookstore. Now, this is a family event. I believe it's in its fifth year. And it's marvelous. Last year we had snow, so it really created a special magic for everybody that participated. But I'm going to be doing many consultations at King's Bookstore. And I'll be there from noon until 4 in the afternoon. And, of course, they've got so many activities going on. There's vendors of all kinds. There's tours they recommend that you take, and the people in downtown Tacoma just get so enthusiastic about this. There's just a lot of joy in this special event. So go check out Dickens Festival on the Internet, Tacoma, Washington, and I think you're going to find that it's going to be something that if you're in that area, you'll really enjoy being a part of. The kids have a good time. Adults have a good time. People come in from all over the area just to be able to enjoy this very, very special festival, and of course, all of us that are working at this event are going to be in costume, so it just really makes it extra, extra special. The very first Dickens Fair I ever went to was in San Francisco. It was a few years ago, and it was in this huge warehouse on a pier section, in San Francisco, and it was magical. They had all of these vendors, and the costumes were just breathtakingly wonderful. You had the jesters, you had people that were in the Victorian style dressed for that time, or the Dickens style, I should say, not Victorian style, but it just the imagination of costuming for that period is wonderful. And then you could go out onto the pier and you would see all of these boats out on the water, and they had spinnakers and they were all kinds of colors. It's one of the most memorable experiences my husband and I have had, and it was just such an exceptional event. They no longer have it in San Francisco. I think it's now being done in San Jose. It just grew to be so large. But people still come out by the thousands to be able to attend the wonderful event. And this is down in, again, in the northern area of California in San Jose. And it's just absolutely, I believe it's San Jose. I think it's San Jose they're doing it. Maybe it's Oakland. Excuse me. I have to correct myself on that. But I haven't been to that one. But it was just so memorable. And so since then, any events of that type of genre I've always enjoyed. And it's just a lot of fun. Now, you're going out for costuming, I bet, and if you are, how are you designing your own, or are you going to have a standard standby? Well, we have friends that put on a Halloween party every year, and we enjoy participating in it because people come up with some of the wildest things. Well, I came across a study. Oh, yes, there's another study. Halloween costumes apparently say something about an individual. And I thought I'd share some of the concepts with you because I thought it was funny. There's many Halloween costumes represent age-old archetypes that tap into our subconscious. Boy, we could have a wild time with some of the things that people design, couldn't we, if we tried to figure it out. It's not just as much you who chooses the costume as it is the costume that chooses you. So here are six different items. Do you know one of the absolute most popular costume for women? Well, it's being a queen, a princess, or a fairy. Yes, females really, really like it. You can imagine why you'd want to play the role of the queen. Yes, it's just wonderful. But to get dressed up and to have the fanciest outfit you can, or be in the costuming of a fairy and have the magnificent wings and the sparkles and all this kind of stuff, well, they say it represents an idealized world where romantics and you don't have your head in the clouds. In fact, this costume choice suggests that you have a very playful nature that can come only from intelligence and confidence, because that kind of costuming represents a confident optimist. You're comfortable being exactly who you are, even if one day a year, this Halloween day, you might become someone just a little different now. What if you want to be a vampire? Yes. Talk to blood. That's what they do. Well, that means you're a go-getter. Figure that one out. Just as passionate as your Halloween alter ego. Mm-hmm. You go for the jugular, but it's not blood you're after, but gold. You're a persistent go-getter. They say that you are drawn to this kind of characterization because they are eternal seekers. And you are of that disposition, and you really want to get what you want. Now, we were talking earlier in the show about witches. Yes. Well, if that's your favorite costume, you're an independent creator. Why? You don't like to conform. You're extremely feminine, especially for the ladies that look at that. I know there are male witches, but we're talking about the gals right now. But hey, if a guy, yes, that's a warlock, that's a male witch, and they're supposed to be around too. But it means that you are really independent. You like doing things on your own, and you want to be just your own person totally. A little bit rebellious? Well, you also like to think outside the box. And if your broom's working well, you can fly around it. It is something that is showing independence. And what if you want to play the role of a cat? You're a fun-loving sophisticate. Why? Because cats embody the same intriguing duality that people that are fascinated by those costumes seem to have. You really like doing things that are whimsical, and you like to keep people guessing about who you are. Independent? Mm-hmm. Just like cats. But you like to have other people figure out what makes you tick. Now a superhero. Aha, yes. That's always been the favorite with the guys. Well, they feel that you're a compassionate risk taker. Superheroes have always gone where nobody else has dared to go. Sounds like a Star Trek quote, doesn't it? Well, it applies to superheroes because they're always willing to be daring. And you want to make sure that you're bringing good into your environment, whether it's with your family or your community. And you like to be practical, but you are adventurous. You sort of like to keep things to yourself. You don't always want to have everything right out front for people to see. But you always make sure that if you're going to portray a superhero, male or female, you're going to be ready to step into the role at any time because you're a doer. You're a person that likes to think things through and be there for the underdog whenever it's necessary. And, of course, a favorite is an angel. I found this a surprise. They said if you like to wear angel costumes, you're a nurturing diplomat. It means that you're approachable, amiable, and sociable. Just as angels bridge two worlds, you're the type of person that brings folks together on a daily basis. You're good at listening, and you're good at giving advice. And you may not be everybody's best friend, but those that are friends with you know that they really have a good friend. So you like to look after others quite a bit, too. So those are just a few little trivia items on Halloween costumes. By the way, and what they mean if you wear them, and you can have a lot of fun with some of the things that people come up with. If you want to give me a buzz today, give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. And I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Donna Sebo here. Now, by the way, I want to let you know who we're going to be talking with tomorrow. We're going to be talking with David Duvall. Now, we're going to be having music. David has been a musical director in New York and in Los Angeles and in the Seattle area. And he decided he would put something together with Shakespeare. Well, most of us, we hear about Shakespeare, we go, oh, yeah, right, sure, mm-hmm. Well, Shakespeare had a number of sonnets. David put them to music, and we're going to be hearing it. And it's amazing what he's done. The music is terrific. The voices are awesome. And so we're going to be hearing that tomorrow. We're going to be talking about new Shakespeare musical sonnets. And by golly, if Shakespeare's been boring to you, not after you hear the music. The music is terrific. And then on Friday, because Halloween is just the next day, on Saturday, we're going to be talking on Friday about Confessions of a Feng Shui Ghostbuster. Ah, yes. Anything goes. Remember what our guest said today, the imagination knows no limits. And what you want to do is talk about how the impossible can become the possible. So we're going to be talking about Ghostbusting on Friday. So that's our lineup. And then we've got a wonderful, wonderful lineup of people coming in for the month of November. And it's just such a joy to be able to share all of these talented, gifted people with you, because each and every one of them, whether they are a physician with the latest information on nutrition or medical treatment, or it is someone that has a special recipe to share, whatever it might be. They all have something that they offer, and it's a delight to have you share it with me. Donna Sebo here. Let's go to our first caller for the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. This is Pat in New Haven, Connecticut. How are you?
Well, hi. How are you, and are you getting ready for Halloween? And I bet you it's just gorgeous back in New Haven with the changing of the leaves.
Oh, it is gorgeous, but the torrential rains are bringing the leaves down very quickly.
Oh, my goodness. Well, but we had that happen here. It's just that time of year.
Right.
But, oh, Connecticut is so gorgeous in the fall. Absolutely magnificent. All right, dear, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that I'm looking back is stand down. You need to realize that sometimes there are situations involving other people where it's not going to be worth trying to be Joan of Arc and charging forward. Sometimes it's better just to sit back and to listen carefully to what is going on, get all of your strategies together, really think through what needs to be discussed, and then and only then really pull out all the punches, so to speak. There is a meeting or a group of people, I don't know if it's with family, friends, something at work, I'm not sure at this moment, but your first gut response will be, man, I got to say something, I got to say something now, and it's like all this energy is just churning up in the middle of you, just right from the solar plexus going all the way up into the throat, and yet it feels like someone stuck a sock in your mouth. It's really an interesting feeling that I'm getting. And you're going to wonder, why can't I open my mouth? Well, it's as if your wiser self says, this is not the time. This is an inappropriate time. And so you just go, you just clam up. Well, that's a better thing to do. Stand down, because you haven't got all the facts. Whatever is being discussed, whatever is being presented here in this meeting, a lot of people are getting emotional and they don't have enough facts. You need to get the facts. And I would just say, make a comment to the effect, let me think about this, and then let's discuss this further. But you want to withdraw. You don't want to get sucked in by the emotions, because it's going to create all kinds of distortion. We have to go for a break, Pat. Will you stay with me? We'll come back and get your questions.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to come back and chat with Pat, and I'll chat with you too, 888-815-9756. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Let's go back to Pat. Pat, what's your question for me today?
Hi, Donna. I think what you were telling me is really about my question. I'm concerned about my security as my position as a caretaker where I live. This weekend, the boss's alarm went off in their house 2 times, which is odd. And I took responsibility for being careless, although there's a possibility there might have been an attempted break-in. I have been kind of keeping quiet and just letting them speak, so I'm wondering if this is what you're referring to. I would like to know how they feel about me, if I'm still secure in my position. If you see, was this my fault or was there an attempt for a break-in?
Well, I think it was something else. I don't know that it was an attempted break-in because I'm not seeing anything there. I think what occurred is that there was something where maybe the heat came on and something blew a drape or, it's just sometimes it can be something very, very simple that you don't think of. And what I think probably would be a good idea is that if you're on the premises there when the alarm went off?
Yes. Okay. I was out shopping for them.
All right. So if you were out shopping for them and the alarm went off twice, then probably what is a primary concern to them, obviously, with justifiable reason, is that something has happened. So what you may say is go back to them and just say, all right, let's look at the facts here. Let's look at the time when the alarm went off. And can they tell you which part of the house the alarm went off in, depending on how sophisticated a system they've got? And I don't see that theirs is especially sophisticated.
No,
but I will just share with you, we had, when we had our alarm system, our alarms go off a couple of times, and for the life of us, we couldn't figure out what was doing it. Well, we didn't realize that there was a heating vent in the floor, that when it went on and we had turned the heat on, it was in the fall of the year, like this time of the year, that it was blowing on the drapes that were nearby. So the alarm system was set up, it was so sensitive that just the slightest movement, boing, off it would go. Well, we were totally perplexed. Then there was a time when we had our dogs where we had had to have the system adjusted because our dogs would jump up on a certain chair. When the people came out, they said, well, if you've got the animals in the house, you know, what do they use? What do they sleep on? And we found out that one of our dogs was jumping up and it was right in the light beam. So something had to be adjusted. So I would say you perhaps should just sit down with them and say, you know, there's something that's gone on. I don't know what it is, and I don't know that I was the cause of it. If it was me, then I'm happy to accept it, but I don't know because I've been doing things the same way. But what I'd like to do is maybe have someone come out to take a look, and let's see if anything can move that we wouldn't expect to move because of maybe a heater going on or air system going on. Things like this can set off alarms. It's just very interesting.
Yeah.
And they probably should have someone from the alarm company come out.
Actually, one door was unlocked, which I had used that day, and that's why I thought maybe it was my fault. But I was also wondering if, you know, was it my fault or someone try to get in that door, but it was unlocked.
All right. If the door was unlocked, you may not have remembered to lock it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So
okay.
That is okay, but the key is something stimulated the alarm to go off.
Yep.
And so it would be a good idea, and I think that they would appreciate it, that, you know, sometimes we need to upgrade systems, and sometimes there can be a short in a system, and you're not aware of it. Or, you know, if they've got any animals, you know, cats are notorious. I had a friend that the cat would set off the alarm because for some reason, not all the time, but every once in a while, they'd decide to jump in a certain space.
Right.
So they had to have an alarm system specialist come out and say, gee, how do we deal with this? Because we want the system in place. How do we deal with it? And some very good suggestions were made. So it might be a good idea for the alarm company, they have their service people to come out and say, can you check the system for us?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing to do. This is the right time of the year to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We had neighbors that we found their system, their alarms were going off all the time because the way the alarms had been installed, when the windstorms would come through, it set everything off.
Right.
So a lot of things can occur that you normally wouldn't even consider. And I think it's a good idea just to have a check.
Okay. Am I secure with them?
I think so, dear. Don't worry about it.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. And
you're
happy Halloween to you.
Well, the same to you. Have a wonderful day. This is
Thanks.
Donna Sebo.
Bye-bye.
We're out of time. And we'll be back tomorrow. We're going to be talking about Shakespeare and listening to some fabulous music. So talk to you then. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a wonderful evening and know that your life is very special and you'll be blessed a million times in a million different ways. Donna Sebo here. Take care. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here on BBSRadio.com, Station 1. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.